Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about being partners in marriage for the long haul and some of the ingredients that make this happen. And you can find more of these resources at mystronghome.com.
Yeah, we got a number of things under the Fourth Stream banner that we have done over the years that we think are just great resources. Mm-hmm. Of course, we would think that. But, you know, a lot of them are deliverable. You can get them online and you can pass them on to a friend.
Yeah, and they're often just in a way that you can use it in a workshop also. So just take it, download it, and use it.
Absolutely. The next couple of times together, we're going to talk about the marriage partnership. And this is kind of reflective of the stages that we talked about yesterday, because during the stages of marriage, at some point you become partners together. Mm-hmm. And when you start pulling together, then it's not you against each other. It's you together against the world. And mm-hmm. that is like a huge pivot. And there are three areas that I'd like to just at least touch on today. First of all, what it means to be partners. Second of all, the family of origin, you know, where we came from and how we can kind of just modify that and deal with it in a way that's positive. Mm-hmm. And then also broach the subject of communication, which is one that we've just had
Dave's
a lot of fun with.
Which was Dave's and my really difficult one.
Partnership, we've got a list of things here. Partners learn to trust each other and to divide responsibilities, maximizing strengths and minimizing weaknesses.
And this is where I tell people all the time, I just encourage people not to fight the traditional roles, not to fall in them because you think you're supposed to, but it's easy sometimes in our culture to fight traditional roles. And I just encourage people, figure out what it is that you each like to do and do them. And then you're each going to have, there are still going to be things that nobody wants to do, and then you have to sift through those. But you know, whoever likes to cook should cook, and who wants to do the yard should do the yard.
But a true partnership really involves playing to our strengths, mm-hmm, you know,
right.
and diminishing as far as our weaknesses are concerned. So, you know, that's one of the things we've learned how to do. You know, when we see the other person being weak, we step up. And when the other person's being strong, we can relax a little bit.
Like you, pick up the vacuum all the time because I'm no good and I hate it. Well, I'm okay at it, but I hate it.
Yes. Yeah. I think you just say that to me to get me going.
I know.
Partners also learn to recognize, give, and receive valid criticism. And this was really huge because it's differentiated from personal preferences and self-centered motives. You know, anybody can look at somebody and say, you're not giving me what I want, but it's totally a mature person who recognizes, gives, and receives valid criticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one really is not easy, but it's such a protection. For instance, when I can hear you say to me, you're skirting the truth on this. Mm-hmm. Or when you can hear me say, you can't be everybody's big brother.
Yeah.
Those are not easy to say. They're not easy to hear. But it's such a protection for each other to really care about each other that way.
Here's one that we learned a lot about early on in our marriage. Partners never run their spouse down in front of others, and they are careful to build and maintain mutual respect.
And I will repeat that. Never, ever talk negatively about your spouse. It ruins trust.
It does.
Just period.
And it's not good for relationships. Mm-hmm. And any relationships that flourish off from that kind of talk really don't end up getting you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're not healthy. So the final one here under partners is partners are very interested in each other's spiritual welfare and truly desire to see their spouse excel and grow in all areas of life.
Yeah, and it seems like this is really, I don't know if cyclical is the right word, but you sometimes are doing so well at it, and then all of a sudden you realize we have just fallen. We're not doing this. But really, the idea of what you're saying there is we just keep pressing, trying to figure out how to do that for each other.
Well, I think one of the greatest things that we can do for our spouse is to pray for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it isn't like we have to be this huge spiritual man or spiritual
junior
woman.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, or the junior Holy Spirit. Or just be able to go to God on the other person's behalf. You know, mm-hmm. when you see them struggling, when you see their strengths. I know the whole issue of I didn't grow up receiving a lot of encouragement. So I've had to learn to be an encourager. And I think I do a reasonably good job considering mm-hmm. where I've come from, don't
right.
I?
Right, right.
So that becomes something that you know, kind of have to modify, which leads us to the family of origin. And here's a statement here. I did a lot of reading and studying on this years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You do marry your spouse's family system. And this rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But I think once you admit it, face it, it makes mm-hmm. a big difference.
Yeah. And the goal isn't really to throw out your spouse's whole family system. The goal is to find the good and put it into the system you're building.
Yeah. In fact, a new system, and I say this often when I do premarital counseling, and this is blows people away. I say, you know, a new system is going to take a while to develop, but we're by nature resistant to that. So I think it takes about a decade to establish a strong marriage.
It begins with yours and mine. We build it into ours. And the key word is build, I think. It's little by little. You try it. You take it apart. You try it again.
When you're looking at families, too, it's easy to become critical and you know, a proponent of one family or another when we look at our families of origin. We can't afford to be overly critical or blindly accepting there, and that's too extreme, so catch that. Mm-hmm. If we're overly critical or blindly accepting of our own or our spouse's family of origin, that can cause us to overreact or avoid helpful insights and make healthy modifications, because we're in a learning environment. We're not in the kind of a situation in a marriage where we want to keep things the way that they are. We want to grow as people. And we, not only that, we want to grow as people together.
Mm-hmm. And learning how to cultivate our strengths. We can have negative and unhealthy influence. We must grow through that.
Absolutely.
With each other.
Well, you know, also related to family of origin, it's interesting, you know, there are so many backgrounds that people have.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've got, we have a lot of people that we've gotten to know pretty well over the years. And so you get to know a lot about their family and about their backgrounds. And developing healthy community support relationships is really important. Not so you have somebody that you can just, you know, complain about the things that didn't happen right in your life, but just be around people who are interested in your best interests and do care about you and have something to contribute. And they also come from maybe a little bit different perspective. And you put that together with a half a dozen friends, well, you guys can really be helpful to each other. And that's what we found in our community when it comes to this.
I think another thing that I learned is that it's tough to make couple friends. It was tough for us to make couple friends when you and I weren't friends.
Yes.
So more difficulty you and I were having, and if we weren't working on it, you know, nobody wants to be around you when you're like that. And so that
true.
Was something that we had to learn, you know, just we had to do ourselves a huge favor by learning to be kind to each other, even if we were going through tough times.
Yeah, and if we ever had people over that were, you know, arguing with each other, I'd stand up and I'd say, honey, let's go to bed so these people can go home. The marriage partnership involves an intentionality to be partners, and what that what building that kind of foundation looks like. And it's not unlike other partnerships in life, although partnerships are tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, family partnerships are, business partnerships are
right.
tough, friendship partnerships are not easy to mm-hmm. do. And all of those are kind of intertwined with our family of origin, because we want to move beyond where we've been and we want to move into new horizons. Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads to the process. And that process is one of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And communication, there have been, I don't know, how many books written on communication?
I have no idea.
Is bazillion even a word? B-U-H, bazillion. Opposites do attract, and this is just some principles. And mm-hmm. I just want to bounce them off from you, because we've kind of experienced these together. Opposites do attract, and difficulty in communication is normal.
It is normal. You know, you are more social. I was a little less social. You have people who are talkative versus the person who listens more. But I think when you go through tough times, it's really important to think back to what drew you to your spouse in the first place and find that thread and work on enjoying it again, because they probably really haven't changed in that area. It's just being squelched because of trying times. So to find that thread and go back and start enjoying it again instead of being frustrated over it. I know I'm making it sound like it's an easy thing. I know it's not an easy thing. What I'm saying is it's a place to start.
Well, and that's something that needs to be cultivated. It's something that takes time in order to develop that thread like you're talking about. And communication, it's hard to be to communicate when you're feeling sorry for yourself or if you're angry all the time. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, those are not your spouse's problems.
Yeah.
Those are your problems.
Yeah, but you make me mad.
That's true. I do.
No, I agree with you.
Opposites, and that's one we've learned a lot about this, because you and I just we're polar opposites.
We are polar opposites in just about everything.
But communication has become better and better, but we've had to work on mm-hmm. it a lot. And I would say now, at this point in our lives, communication is a real strength.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, you see differences in communication in every marriage. I think this is where Satan works so hard to tear us down as individuals. That way men won't feel respected and women won't feel
yep.
special, and we'll look outside the marriage. one way or another to get what we need. So good communication is imperative.
Well, and the patterns that are reflected there, we may have grown up, and you mentioned it earlier in our conversation, you grew up in one communication pattern, I grew up in another. Well, to find our own, that took work to accomplish that. It's interesting, too, when it comes to communication, that character qualities and personalities are like a double-edged sword. They greatly impact our ability to communicate. So while somebody might be a quiet person, they also are not a person who lashes out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then in your case, being a quiet person, you could also be passive aggressive. I, on the other hand, it's good that I take initiative and then I'm out there. But on the other side of that, I could say hurtful things. So there's like two edges to a lot of the swords that are our personality and our nature, and finding the good side of those and downplaying the weak part of them, I think can be a huge part of success.
Well, and in our case, and I don't always want to go back to us because I know everyone's not like us, but we are an example. My communication was so weak, you actually had to be patient with me and encourage me, and I had to actually learn how to communicate. It wasn't just coming up with having the nerve to do it. I had to learn how to actually say the words.
Patience was my strong suit, so that didn't provide much of a challenge at all. Yeah, that's so true. I'd kind of like to finish this conversation about communication. There's a lot to be said, but in the workshop that we have at mystronghome.com, there are just different exercises that you can work through. And a lot of them are just a matter of talking about them together.
Well, for example, the things that we're going through today, it's a worksheet, and there are little boxes, two boxes in the front of each statement, one for you and one for your spouse. And you check them depending on if you think it's a strength or if you think it's a weakness, and you compare it to how your spouse has checked it. It's just a great checklist.
Well, let me finish this conversation, with a fuzzy feel-good statement about communication. To not communicate is the epitome of self-centeredness. It doesn't matter what kind of personality you have. It doesn't matter if you're prone to fits of anger or whatever it might be. We can be so egocentric that meaningful and satisfying communication is the exception and not the rule. And the embittered person will not communicate. And that is a sad thing, because it is self-destructive. It's not only destructive to the relationship, it is also destructive to self.
Yeah, you used to tell me that my not communicating was really selfish, and I just didn't get it right away, but I do now. How could you possibly give me what I needed or work out any kind of solution if I didn't know, if you didn't know where I was coming from? I mean, it just, you can't communicate if you don't know what the other person is thinking. But I also agree with you that if you communicate and are consistently shut down, or your perceptions are looked down upon, then you may choose to live in bitter silence. And that's a dangerous road for your heart and your marriage.
And which for me, on the other side of that, to learn to be a patient listening person, which I wasn't good at, that's where the give and take that we're talking about here in the family partnership comes in. And it's so important when it comes to communication. If you're going to succeed, you must communicate.
Check all this out on mystronghome.com.
Forstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forstream.com and click on the radio button.
Together we are finding hope at ForthStream.com.
Hey, Bernadette, I am really enjoying doing this with you.
It's been a good exercise for us to do again.
It is, because now we're in this stage of marriage where, we're hanging in there and we're fighting the fight. Thank you.
You're welcome. You too.